All right, Las Vegas, welcome to Heatwave Sports. I am Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com, and Heatwave Sports is taking you for 2 hours tonight. We have so much to talk about. My New York Rangers have been eliminated, but that means the Florida Panthers are moving on to the Stanley Cup Finals. Tomorrow night, we have a Game 6, Edmonton Oilers and Dallas Stars. I want to get into that game. Tail of the tape, we're going to do it up and see if Connor McDavid can finally get to the finals, or if we're going to have a Dallas-Florida finals. And let me tell you, the NHL executives and the advertisers are hoping that we don't have that. They want a team from Canada. They want McDavid in the finals against a very strong Florida team. I tend to think early on, what I just watched, I don't know if I could go against Florida right now. And we will get into what happened tonight. I'm going to get into that. I know we don't normally talk a lot of NBA on this show, primarily because Tim is not an NBA fan, but I am going to absolutely break down the NBA Finals, what we had leading up to this. I will give you some betting tips, some betting advice as well. I see some clear ways to make some money, but I also want to give you my predictions and what I believe with the Celtics and the Dallas Mavericks. So it can be a pretty fantastic Finals if the Stars and Dallas get in. I will let you know if I think that's going to happen, and will Dallas be lifting any of the championships as well. We will get into Major League Baseball. I have quite a few things to say on Major League Baseball, and I have a little NFL news, something that is being rumored that might happen tomorrow. You guys that play fantasy, you guys that play futures plays, you're going to want to listen to this, because this could be pretty big, especially if you're a fan of San Francisco or Pittsburgh. And that's my teaser for hour number two. Make sure you hit me up over on the X. It is at Tom Barton Sports. I'll take all of your information there. And we'll talk about what you guys want to talk about as well. 876-1340 gets you a part of the show as well. So without further ado, let's go right into it. And I want to go right into what I watched tonight. Because what I watched tonight was tough for a Ranger fan like me to watch, but in a way it wasn't as tough as you think it might be. It's the President's Trophy. It's our year. All of that being said by the Rangers. Look, the Panthers were just the better team, and they played better. I mean, it's as simple as that. The Rangers had it in front of them. The Rangers should have won this series, although the sportsbooks had them as underdogs. I thought the Rangers were going to win this series. I didn't believe that Florida was the better team. I believe that they would have way too tough of a time getting past Igor, and they did. I mean, they did. They didn't have a good time getting past Igor. He stood on his head, but it didn't matter. Right? I mean, look, the reality is it didn't matter. The Florida Panthers were fantastic. Bobrovsky was absolutely fantastic. And what the Panthers did, they were the crisper team. They were the better team. They were outplayed. The Rangers were out-physicaled, which is rare to say. The Rangers were beat in every aspect of this series, except by the goaltender. And you know, you guys, you've listened to me long enough, and I've spoken long enough about how I approach the NHL during the regular season, how I approach the NHL, and how I look at the NHL come playoff time. And it's, look, I'm not alone when I say I just believe that the team with the best goalie is going to win. And it doesn't mean the best goalie over the year. It means whoever's the hottest. I know you Vegas fans, you're going to say, well, come on, Tom. We have a championship, but clearly not the best goalie. But the way he was playing was fantastic. I believe that the Rangers' power play, combined with their offensive prowess, were going to get it done with Igor in net. Their offense went away. And you could blame, you could give all the accolades to Bobrovsky, who played a fantastic goalie. Yeah, sure. But guys, it was the shots on goal. I mean, it was kind of pathetic. Midway through the third, the Rangers had 20, I think it was 21 shots on goal. I mean, come on. Come on, what are we doing here? You know, shots against, here we go. 24 for the game for Florida, 34 for the Rangers. And that was a continuous trend. Continuous trend throughout this series was that they just couldn't crack the defense of the Florida Panthers. And that's what it was. Let's go back to game five. 37 shots on goal to 27. 10 more in two straight games. Let's go back to the Rangers win in overtime. 37 shots on goal by the Panthers. Guys, 34, 37, 37 shots on goal the last three games. What are you supposed to do with that? I mean, what do you do with that? You look at this and you look at how well Igor played, and it's amazing that the Rangers didn't get blown out. But you also have to talk about how good the Panthers were. To be able to pepper a defense. Look, the Rangers had a good defense. A good defense. I know everybody loved their offense. I went into this series talking about their defense, talking about their power play, and talking about Igor. The offense I just took for granted was going to be there. But Florida just peppered over and over, had open looks, over and over, crisp passes, over and over. I don't care how good you are. You face that many shots, you're just going to be in trouble. And how good was Igor? Shesterkin faced 524 shots in 16 games in the playoffs overall. 926 save percentage. The Rangers were outshot in 13 to 16 games in the playoffs. This series was about Igor standing on his head, or the Rangers would have been embarrassed. This playoff was about Igor standing on his head, or the Rangers get embarrassed. That's just what it is, right? I mean, you can twist this, turn this, say what you want. On the Rangers' side, we could be upset, right? The Rangers' side, Panarin, to an $81.5 million deal 5 years ago in 46 postseason games, he has 12 goals. Won this series. Zero last year. Right? I mean, you could point your finger there. You could point your finger there. Mika and Panarin were terrible. They were terrible. I mean, Fox played really well, but they were terrible. Kreider was good, right? I mean, you like him. But Panarin just wilted. He went away. And if you're the Rangers, that's what you look at. If you're Florida, you are on fire. The Florida Panthers are not dominating anybody. They don't have to, right? The Florida Panthers are in a position right now, guys, where I said it in the middle of the game. Yeah, it was 1-0, and they went to studio, you know, and they had kind of a little argument in studio, because in studio they were talking, and they're sitting there, and they're saying, you know, the 1-0 after the first. Yeah, you know what? This 1-0 score feels like 4 or 5, and it did. And I said to Abby, who is a Panthers fan, I said, it's over. The game's over. The series over. And I said, the Stanley Cup might be over because no one's beaten Florida. I mean, that was my original knee-jerk, right-away reaction. It's over. And what do we sit back and say? Well, early lines are showing that Florida will be the favorite against Edmonton, who will be getting a ton of money, and against Dallas, if Dallas gets there. Who, if you win a game 7, by the way, you're going to generate money to. Right? So, the Florida Panthers, where they sit right now, they are doing everything right. Like I said, they are absolutely just on fire as far as getting shots off. And you can tell me, well, you know what? They won 2-1. Oh, come on, you know, come on, Tom. We won 2-1. Yeah, I get it. You did. All right, sure, fine. They won 2-1. This is Igor. I don't care who you are. Listen, Dallas is a good team. And we'll get into my Stars preview against the Oilers in a couple of minutes. Dallas is a good team. Okay? So you look at the Panthers and you see they scored 2, 3, 3, and 3 in their wins. When you talk about unders, by the way, how about an under series? Under, under, under. Last three games, under, under. 5 of the last 6 games. Bobrovsky was absolutely fantastic. We know that. Okay? Barkov was fantastic in a crucial game 4. Bennett was really good in a crucial game 5. I get it. But this is not, don't look at this and just see 2-1, 2-1, 2-1. Yes, they're playing good defense. Yes, Florida's playing, think about good defense, exceptional defense. And yes, they're getting good goaltending by Bobrovsky. But this was more a situation where anybody would have struggled against Shesterkin. If you watch the games, he wasn't giving up anything. So I'm not dinging and I'm not getting down on Florida for only scoring 2-3 goals. They got 37 shots on goals, guys, and a lot of those were good shots. Tonight, there was more than one opportunity of basically a one-on-one breakaway that Igor shut down. Next round against Skinner might not be the same. That's going in. Jake Ottinger, look, I know he's good, okay? I get it. He's not Igor. So they can breathe a little bit. And you look at what they've done over the series. Look, let's go back to the beginning for Florida here. Let's go back to the beginning in the conference first round. Okay, against Tampa, who tends to play better defense than people give them credit for. But against Tampa, 3 goals, 3 goals, 5 goals, 3 goals, 6 goals. They're scoring. Right? I mean, they're scoring. And their defense is pretty good. Then look, those were higher scoring games than you thought. Total of 7, total of 9, total of 8 in the last 3 games. They played that kind of style. Then against Boston, a traditional, grind it out, earn everything type of defensive team. That's what this was going to be. They got blitzed in game 1, and I told you guys on the air they were going to lose that game. After that, they put up 6 against Boston at home, 6 against Boston in Beantown, and then they turned it on and they started playing the defensive game, shutting down Boston. Boston, outside of that game 1, where they just got blitzed, look, they played on May 6th, okay? That was a week later. They won on the 29th. They were going to lose that game. Since that game, they've allowed 2-1 to Boston, 0-2-5 in OT, 2-2-1 to the Rangers. You want to talk about defense? I mean, yeah, this team also put up 6 against Boston twice. Right, they were able to put up 4 against Igor and 3 a couple of times, which is basically putting up 4 or 5 against anybody else. Their defense is absolutely on fire right now. Bobrovsky is on fire right now. And they have a myriad of ways to beat you. Is it Barkov tonight? Is it Bennett tonight? Who looks really good, by the way. Tkachuk, we know. Rodriguez, Reinhart. Go down the list. They don't have an Austin Matthews. They don't have a Connor McDavid. Nobody does. They don't have a Draisaitl. They don't have a Panarin. Now you can tell me Tkachuk is a big name, but they don't have that. They have as a team. They have 4 or 5 guys that can beat you every night. They have a dynamo in goal. And they're able to play your style. They went in to the series against Tampa and said, we're coming at you with offense. You want to play offense. We want to play offense. We're going to beat you offensively. Well, they did a good job defensively, but they beat them. They went score for score, had a field day. Boston wanted to grind it out. They were down 0-1. They said, okay, let's grind it out. Now you don't score. Now you don't score. You guys, Remember, you now use don't leave, right? That was it. Florida said, now you don't score. And they shut the door on Boston. They, after that first game, they scored more than two goals. They didn't score more than two goals in the next five games. And then you go against the Rangers. And you think they're going to say, okay, Rangers, let's outscore you like they did Tampa. No, no, no. They went the other way. You have Igor. We have Bobrovsky. Here's what we're going to do. We think we can win one-on-one, but we're going to outshoot you by 10, basically, every night. That's what they did. I mean, shoot, you know, 37 shots on goal, 37 shots on goal, 34 shots on goal. Something's going to break. And it was the Rangers' defense. Something's going to break in that spot. So as I look at the Florida Panthers, and again, like I said, I understand that I might be reactionary right now as I'm sitting here. I get it. Coming off of that loss, the manner that it was, the fact that, yeah, when it was 1-0, guys, it did feel like 4 or 5-0. Yes, it did. I'm not going to tell you it didn't. It did. Felt like 4 or 5-0. So maybe I'm caught up in the moment, but it doesn't look like anybody's being Florida. Now, I have been sitting here telling you that what's good for hockey, what's good for the sport, what's good for sports in general is that Connor McDavid lifts a trophy. I am not pulling off of that. That assessment is still here. That assessment is right. But ladies and gentlemen, as much as we want to root for that, I can't imagine anybody getting past this team. I really can't. Florida has everything you want and everything you are looking for in a championship. A championship-laden team. That's what this team has. They have everything that you want out of a championship-laden team. And I just sit back and I don't believe that anyone can stop them. Not the way they're playing right now. And it's not just right now. It's not the 2-1 game tonight. It's not winning three games in a row. It's the style. You want a shootout? We'll beat you with a shootout. We've proven that we could do that. 5-3, 6-3 to Tampa. Yeah, we can beat those games. 6-1, 6-2, Boston. We can win shootouts, okay? You want overtime games? Great. We can play overtime games. The one game four against the Rangers. We can play them. You want tight, low-scoring games? Oh, we love those. We can play those. Florida Panthers look dynamic. And the Florida Panthers are moving on to the Stanley Cup Finals. Who they will face? Well, that's still a lot in question. We're going to take a quick timeout. When I do get back, we're going to talk about it. You got the Edmonton Oilers, the Dallas Stars, star power all over the place. The series has been up and down. The series has been a lot of fun for hockey fans. And I'm going to give you my take on, do I think that Edmonton can close it out tomorrow? They've had a hard time in these spots historically with this group. They've had a hard time even in the playoff series here as we remember in recent memory. But this team is in a unique spot. They're playing with a little something interesting. I picked them to win it before the year began. Let's see if I'm off of them because of what I just watched in Florida. We'll take a quick timeout. Be right back right after this, right here on Heatwave Sports. All right, guys. Welcome back. Tom Barton from Tom Barton Sports here on Heatwave Sports, taking you for 2 hours. We're talking a little Stanley Cup Finals. We have one participant in the Stanley Cup Finals. That is your Florida Panthers out there. The Panthers have been chasing this. They're 30 years in. The Rats were on the ice getting thrown all over the place. Bobrovsky looking as dominant as ever. The defense was fantastic. The offense, while it doesn't show up on the scoreboard, just absolutely annihilating the puck. 37 shots on goal, 34 shots on goal, 37 shots on the goal, the last three, and they move on to the Stanley Cup Finals. They will play the winner of the Stars and Edmonton. And I said it before, you know, a little tongue-in-cheek, but not so much, that advertisers in the NHL, they want McDavid in there. They want a Canadian team in there. All is right with the world if the Oilers beat the Stars and move on tomorrow night. Now, they have the home ice advantage. But do they have the psychological advantage? You know, they're up a game. They've won two games in a row. They've outscored the Stars 8-3 here, right? And I still don't feel comfortable laying the 145 tomorrow with the Oilers. Look, I think they win. And you hear the hesitancy in my voice. I think they probably win. It makes sense for them to win tomorrow, sure. But I'm not completely sold on it. I'm not completely sold, you know, that we're going to sit back and absolutely get that W. And that alone, that hesitancy from somebody that picked them before the year to win, like I did, that somebody picked them last year to win, like I did. Yeah, maybe. I mean, just look, maybe. I'm just a little jaded. Maybe. But I think that me feeling that jadedness has to creep in, doesn't it? I mean, doesn't it have to creep in to everybody just a little? That, hold on a second. You know, is it creeping in just a little bit that there is some doubt that every time we get here, every time we get close, what happens? I mean, that's what we're looking at. So let's break it down, right? Ottinger, I mentioned him earlier. During the regular season, 35-14-4. 905 save percentage, 2.72 goals against. He has been better this postseason. Now, his record isn't much better. 10-8, I get it. 915 save percentage, 2.25 goals against. And now you look at what he's done going up against Edmonton, it goes up again. So he was a 905 save percentage, guys, in the regular season. 915 in the postseason against Edmonton, 925 over the last six times that he's seen it. Look, you say what you want, but Ottinger is that guy. I don't think that he's, you know, Igor, and I don't think he's the standing on your head, but he looks the part right now. And on the other side, you have Stuart Skinner. Skinner has looked good the last two games. We talked about shots on goal, and we mentioned shots on goal. 26 shots on goal. Skinner turned them all away but one. Last game, we talk about shots on goal, 22. Game before that, he allowed two. The Oilers' defense is really doing the job to help Skinner. But it's not like he's not like he's a pushover here. He's 5-2 over the last seven starts. He has a 908 save percentage and under two goals against. So he's on fire. You look at this and you go, yeah, both offenses have star power. Both offensives can light this up. Look, in this series alone, we have watched the Stars scored five, and we have watched Edmonton score five. And through five games, we've watched each team score five, and not in the same game, right? We've watched that. But I look at this and I go, it makes some sense. You know, it makes some sense that it would be a tight game, doesn't it? Why wouldn't this be a tight game? Why wouldn't this be that close? Here we go. You know, let's throw it all out and kind of, you know, get down to the dirty, you know, the nitty gritty and the dirty. It sounds like that. I don't think, as much as we all love Connor McDavid, and we do, look, shots on goal is over 3.5 for McDavid. That's probably a pretty good one, right? As much as we like that, this seems like an under game. It seems like a game where Edmonton might be a little tight, a little cautious with the puck. Dallas wants to be cautious. They're going to be playing against a raucous, ridiculous crowd. Right? We're looking at that. The Stars don't want this. If they have any breath in them, they don't want this to be a shootout. Right? We don't want that. And the Stars travel well, guys, 6-2 on the road. I mean, they travel well. Now, we could get that shootout game. In Edmonton, 8 goals and 7 goals have been scored. So, you know, you underbetters out there looking at the 5.5, I would keep that in mind. I would keep in mind that here in Edmonton, it is something to watch out for. In Edmonton, it is something to give you pause for, well, both of the games in Edmonton, you know, 1-1 and 7-8 goals. So I don't love the under, but I tend to think it's going to be a tight game. I tend to think that. And I would like to believe that, you know, we all have, any sports fan, we all have that, you know, that feeling of I wish, right? The I wish factor. That if you're a fan, if you're not a fan, you're just a fan of the sport itself, you kind of wish certain things. I wish I could see this against this, right? Go back to baseball. I wish I could see Eric Gagne go up against Barry Bonds. Cool, we got it. Oh, awesome. I wish Barry Bonds could, you know, hit one out at Yankee Stadium. I'm a Yankee fan, still understand it. Okay, you know, in football, I wish I could see, you know, Brady against Mahomes. Oh, cool, we got that. There are the I wishes. I wish to see Connor McDavid just go off tomorrow and take the game over. But Dallas has not really been allowing that. And that's why I mentioned the shots on goal from a betting perspective. Shots on goal makes sense. Right? I mean, he is playing like he knows his legacy is on the line. He has at least 4 shots in 3 straight games. And 4 of the 5 in the Western Conference Finals. Right? You look at that. McDavid is at home. He's got 29 shots on goal compared to 24 on the road during this stretch here, right? And it's over 3.5. I like it. I think that I wish feels like it's going to come true. That McDavid is going to be the guy. In all sports, there comes a point where the purely better and more talented player has to step up. And this is no slight to Draisaitl. This is no slight to anybody on that Edmonton team. But there has to come a time in all sports where Michael Jordan's shooting the shot at the end of the game, right? Where there is a key moment where Patrick Mahomes has to make that pass. But Tom Brady has to make that pass. There's got to be that key at bat for Aaron Judge to hit one out. There's got to be that to complete your legacy. There has to be it. And Connor McDavid knows it. Do not for a second think that Connor McDavid doesn't understand what's at stake. It's not just this season. It's his career. That's what it is. Now, the Stars, they've got to get more shots off. They have to. They're basically getting 20 shots on goal. I just ripped the Rangers for that, and that's what they're doing. Right? It looks like, to me, when I look at this, and I've watched all of the games and looking at the games, it seems if you're standing back off of the television, you're going, the Stars are chasing the Oilers. Even when they're up, it looks like that. It looks like the Oilers consistently have the puck, and the Stars are consistently trying to keep it away. That's what it looks like. The defense has been fine, right? We get that the defense has been fine, but they've got to give Ottinger some help, which means they got to get a couple of scores. You know, you look at this and you go, you can't, I don't care who you are, especially against Edmonton, but no, against anybody. Can't score three goals in two games and expect to be in a good situation. You can't. And the reality is that Dallas has scored more than three goals once. I don't think you're winning this game scoring two goals. I don't see a 2-1 game. And I just said I expect it to be slow. You can't. Look, if you're Dallas, you're saying to yourself, we have to go out here and score four. Right? I mean, you have to. To have a chance in this game, you got to score three. That's what they're thinking about. And they limited the Oilers last game with 26 shots. They limited them. But McDavid is still McDavid. Draisaitl is still Draisaitl. Draisaitl's got 10 goals and 17 assists. Right? In the Western Conference Finals, he's got 2 goals and an assist. When Draisaitl scores, the Oilers have won every time. But can they crack this defense? I mentioned Skinner, he looks good. 2.5 goals against average, just a little slight tick above 2.5 goals against. But if you're Dallas, you're terrified of what McDavid and Draisaitl could possibly do. You're terrified of that. And you look at this, and I think this has been a coin flip series. I will tell you, look, I am not going anywhere near laying the 145, strictly because it's a little pricey for me. 145 is a little pricey for me. But I think Edmonton probably moves on. I think Edmonton more than likely, you know, goes out there and wins. But can I count on that? No. I would actually, you know, look at this and I would say, I think Edmonton is looking at this themselves and saying, yeah, if we don't win, we're not winning a game seven. That doesn't mean it can't happen. But I don't think that they are feeling comfortable, do you, in a game seven? So while the pressure, you'll hear all the pressures on Dallas. Oh, all the pressures on Dallas, all the pressures on Dallas. Really? I don't know about that. I don't know if the pressure's all on Dallas here. Because, you know, you look at that and you go, you don't want to go to a game seven, especially if you're Edmonton, especially with the history of not only Edmonton. They don't have the history of just Edmonton on their shoulders. They have the history of an entire country. I don't think you guys understand what is at stake. I'm not sure you can understand what is at stake for them to go out there and to win. I don't know if I can. Can any of us really understand, unless we're from Canada, the world beyond them? Look, I'll take Edmonton in the game. But I get the pressure. And I'm hoping, I am really, really hoping that we are in a situation where Connor McDavid takes this game over. And Connor McDavid is the guy. And Connor McDavid sends them into the Stanley Cup Finals. I am hoping that that's what we're looking at. But I'm not 100% convinced, and this is coming from a guy that before the season told you the Oilers are going to win. This is a guy that right now still thinks the Oilers can win. I'm not changing my bet. I'm not hedging my bet. But I'm nervously anticipating tomorrow's game. All right, guys, let's take a quick timeout. Come on back. Lots more to do right here on Heatwave Sports.
Good attention, please.
This is Heatwave Sports.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is
Tom Barton.
Nah, dude. This is a real job. It's not like teaching kids.
And now back to Heatwave Sports. Here's Tom Barton.
All right, guys. Welcome back. Heatwave Sports. Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com. Here at Heatwave Sports. Guys, if you want to get in touch with the show, it's at Tom Barton Sports over on X. That's the old Twitter. For anybody that wants that over there. Guys, talked about the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm going to hold my NBA talk for hour number two. I did want to get just a little bit of NFL talk going, and I teased it. I told you I was going to tease it for hour number two. Well, I'm going to jump into it a little early. And there's a lot of conversation going around that Deebo Samuel may be traded tomorrow. As early as tomorrow. The speculation is that he's going to Pittsburgh. There are a lot of reporters out of Pittsburgh that are sort of jumping on this story. It has been widely, I'll say speculated, among the guys that I trust in the NFL circles that have told me since the day, look, I'll even go back during the season, sure, during the season, but also since the day the season ended, that there is no way that Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk are on the same team in San Francisco for opening day. And you know, when you hear stuff like that, both of these guys are outstanding wide receivers. And you start to break down what San Francisco does. You know, how do they run their team? And they run their team, I don't want to say frugal because a lot of guys are paid, but they have a mix and match. Shanahan believes he can kind of plug and play guys. Certain players make different positions. Deebo's a guy that I had a hard time believing would ever leave the team. He's that extra, you know, he could be a running back. He's that extra kind of physical player. He's a guy that could be the slot receiver. He can go deep. He breaks tackles. Shanahan and his creativeness almost need a Deebo Samuel type. I mean, that he almost does. And you start to look at what he does well, how it fits with Shanahan. I had a hard time believing, but the more and more you get told something by people that you trust, the more you go, wait a minute. Hold on a second, because maybe there's something to this. Maybe. And I always just assumed Brandon Ayuk would be the guy gone. We heard Buffalo for a while. Kansas City was certainly speculated on. I know Los Angeles was a destination I had heard. Yeah, there was rumblings all over about where Brandon Ayuk would wind up. I thought that Buffalo seemingly was the place. Buffalo seemed like it was, you know, going to be the landing spot. It made a lot of sense that it was going to be the landing spot for him. And you kind of sit back and you said, okay, probably going to get done right before the draft, right? And I had heard, look, there's no way Deebo and Brandon Ayuk are going to be on the same team. They're not starting with San Francisco next year. They're not doing it. And I bought in. I bought into the conversation. I bought into the conversation that was, all right, look, they're not going to be on the same team next year. Okay, so let's adjust. Let's see, you know, what is it going to be? If they're not going to be on the same team next year, well, what are we looking at? And then the draft came. Nothing happened, right? Nothing happened with them at all. And you go, all right, I guess they're going to run it back. But, hold on, San Francisco did go out there. And San Francisco did go out there and draft a wide receiver early on in Pearsall. And now you look at Pearsall and you go, wait. Pearsall's a guy that plays a lot of the Deebo positioning. So you said, okay, after the draft, look, they got to get rid of him, probably get a bunch of second rounders for him. So once Pearsall's drafted, you're expecting a trade. It didn't happen. So you start to hear the rumblings. And now, my people in Pittsburgh, in the last 24 hours, have started the groundswell again, saying that the Steelers will be trading. You know, a Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reporter led the way, but many other guys jumped on that the Pittsburgh Steelers will be trading for Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk. Now, I had heard it was Ayuk for a while. It is now flipped. The speculation turn has now flipped to Deebo. It looks like Debo's going to be the guy. Now, you can read into the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette said by September. And the more you read into things, look, this is not going to be a camp trade. They're not going to be sitting there in the middle of August And we're not going to all of a sudden get a Debo or Ayuk trade. No, they want him in camp. They want him there early. You have, look, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? Forget about the San Fran side. Well-oiled machine. They could trade somebody away. What are they really bringing back? Probably nobody that's going to help them contribute immediately this year. Yeah, there's all that, okay? But look at it from the Pittsburgh Steelers perspective. If you're quote-unquote bidding against yourself, and everybody's speculating that this is nearly a done deal, if that's the situation here, you have a new quarterback, you have new offensive linemen, you're changing the wide receiver room because you got rid of Deontay Johnson. You're changing the philosophy in Pittsburgh with the new quarterback, whether it be Fields or Wilson. There's a lot of unknowns in Pittsburgh already. Who's the quarterback? Is it really? Is the job really up for grabs? Let's start two new offensive linemen. It's a new philosophy. Hey, are we really going to use the tight end a little bit more this year? Well, what about, you know, making this guy? Well, Deontay Johnson's the longest guy. He's gone. He's in Carolina. You don't want all that. And that's why I started to believe the stories that Debo could be traded as soon as tomorrow. As soon as tomorrow. I still kind of lean to Ayuk, but it's starting to sound like it's going to be Debo. It's starting to sound like people in Pittsburgh believe it's going to be Debo. You know, you start to look around, and we always talk about it. You know, where there's smoke, there's fire, guys. And I've said many, many times that when you start to hear things coming out, it's for a reason. San Francisco's putting out videos. The San Francisco 49ers are putting out videos of Pearsall, Ricky Pearsall, how he looks in camp. His route running. He's got no shoulder pads on. I don't know, but I see video of him. I see what they're doing. Oh, man, wow. Look how good he looks. Oh, he's a steal. Oh, here we go. Why are we seeing that? Why? Right? Why are we seeing that mind bending, right? Why? Why is Ricky Pearsall? Ricky Pearsall is a guy that, while talented, is like the fourth option on San Francisco. At best. Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk. Why would we be watching highlights of him? Just for fun? Nah, it doesn't happen that way. Nope, that doesn't happen, guys. All of a sudden, you start to look at this and you start to say, where there's smoke, there's fire. Are they pumping up Pearsall for a reason? So San Francisco fans can accept they're not going to get a ton back for Debo and Ayuk. They'll get something, but they're not going to get a ton back. That's June 1st. Debo Samuel trade after June 1st. The San Francisco 49ers would save $21.9 million in cap savings. $6.6 million in dead cap in 2024. $15.1 million in 2025. Since June 1st and the calendar turned, all of a sudden, financially, it makes sense. It makes sense to sell it to the fans. I know you're going to miss Debo, but with that money, we can go get something else. And oh, by the way, here's some video clips of Ricky Pearsall looking great. You can't type in San Francisco 49ers and not see Ricky Pearsall running around in his shorts with no shoulder pads. Now, what do I think? If he does go, look, I think if he goes, Ricky Pearsall could be great. I do. I think right away he's a 500-600-yard, 5-6-touchdown guy. But I do believe that if you are, and look, I get the financial aspect of it, but if you're the Niners and you're one step away, consistently one step away, always one step away, here we go, one step away from a Super Bowl, I don't think you break up the core. It's smart business by Lynch and company to save the money. It's smart business that you draft Pearsall as the replacement. You can probably still win your division without Debo, who's banged up a lot, or without Ayuk, doesn't always fit your offense. You can probably still go to the NFC Championship game with those things going on. You can probably do all that. But you haven't done it with them. You haven't completed your destiny the way that you wanted to with them. So why mess around with a good thing? Why screw it up? Is it because you haven't reached your destiny and you think that money can be allocated elsewhere? Maybe. Is it that you believe and you see something in them that we don't? Very potentially, sure. Both of those things can be true. I look at this and I go, yeah, Ricky Pearson could come in. He could plug a gap. He could be okay. The reality is that Ricky Pearson might be forced into that quickly. From the Pittsburgh side, it's a great move. Debo's a heck of a player. Ayuk's a heck of a player. And looking at what the asking price is going to be, it's going to be a lot less than I think fantasy players want it to be. I think it's going to shock a lot of people. Good move for Pittsburgh. Good move for San Francisco. I'm hearing there's no way that they're playing opening day. I don't think they're getting traded in August, guys. I think this happens very quickly. June 1st, where the cap hits all of a sudden. I'm hearing this could happen as soon as tomorrow. It's a little NFL, touching on a little NFL, a little early. I said I was going to do it in hour number two. Wanted to do it here. We had a couple of minutes. All right, in hour number two, guys, we have a lot of Major League Baseball to talk about, but I am going to go in deep, and I am going to preview Celtics, Mavericks. The NBA Finals is coming up this week. I think it's got a chance. Look, I know that the NBA has kind of fallen backwards for Tim Unglesby here, you know. We don't talk about it as much as we should. He thinks it's a terrible product. I think it's a terrible product, but it's got a chance to be saved here. Got a lot of star power in the NBA Finals. Boston, Dallas should boost the ratings. Luka against Tatum. Yeah, it's got everything you want. I'm going to tell you who I think will win. I got a couple of prop plays to go get to. All of that in hour number two, right after this, right here on Heatwave Sports. All right, guys, welcome back. Hour number two, Heatwave Sports. I am Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com. Tim Unglesby is out tonight, but he's going to be joining us tomorrow night. We're going to have another two-hour show tomorrow night, and we're going to absolutely go over everything. One thing I know Tim will not go over, and that is the NBA Finals. But I think he should. Look, I'm not going to convince you guys that this is going to be the greatest finals of all time, but I think it has the makings of being, you know, interesting, intriguing, and I think it has the makings of being a finals that we look back on 10 years from now, and we say, man, that was the beginning of something interesting. Because we do have a pronounced favorite against a pretty pronounced underdog. We do have two very different paths to get here. We do have two dynamic superstars, young superstars, going up against each other. Two guys that are perennial MVP candidates that didn't jump to super teams, but they're leading their teams. And I think that that makes for a good storyline. That makes for good NBA play. That makes for good sports play. That makes for good advertising. And if you are a fringe NBA fan, I think you're watching this series. I mean, look, I'm a self-admitted guy. For me, I started with the NBA, I guess you could say a little late in life. With baseball, I was a pretty big baseball fan at about 6 years old. 7 years old, really, really, really took place in, I'll age myself, in 1984. Don Mattingly was Rookie of the Year. The Yankees had something, and all of a sudden, I was a baseball fan. I was a fan before that, but my dad usually kind of just talked to me about the greats of the game, the Babe Ruths, the Mickey Mantles, the Joe DiMaggios, the Lou Gehrigs, even though he wasn't a Yankee fan. But you can't tell the story of the greats of the game without those guys. And you know, I then at seven, I grabbed onto Don Mattingly. I didn't get into the NBA probably until I was about 12, 13 years old. So considerable time later. And then I was heavily into the NBA for years. For years, 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 years. And it fell by the wayside. I got a little bit back into it for a while, and then it fell by the wayside again. And recently, just from a fan perspective, look, I watch all the games. I keep an eye on them. I look at the statistics. I do it all because I still want to make money on the NBA, and you can make money on the NBA. But the NBA game has changed. It really has. And it has changed for the worse. It's lost viewership. It's lost favorability. It has lost marketing appeal. It has lost all of that. It's lost somebody like Tim forever. But if you're a fringe NBA fan, a fan that'll watch, you know, a couple games a year, pay attention to the playoffs, this series is for you. Because it has everything that you do want. It's a series for me. I'm in that spot. I know more. I'm more knowledgeable than just about anybody else, you know, in the NBA that is not NBA diehards. But I'm not an NBA diehard. I like the college game more. But this is a series for me. On one side of the coin here, guys, you know, we have a spot where the NBA can win people back with a series like this. Now, let me preface this by saying, you know, there are better matchups, of course, or could have been better matchups. But from an overall standpoint, really, could there have been? I mean, let's just take it, before we break down the game itself, let's just take who you want. If you are in the East, Detroit, Washington, Charlotte, Toronto, Brooklyn, not even close. Chicago being good, Miami being good, okay, that's great, but they don't have the star power. Indiana, Orlando, nice story. Same thing with Cleveland, don't have the star power. So you're talking about Boston, New York, Milwaukee, and Philly. That's who fringe fans want to see. That's who advertisers want to see. That's who the NBA wanted to see. That's who television networks want to see. Boston, New York, Philly, or Milwaukee. Now, Milwaukee, we've seen them there. And Giannis went down. They're eliminated. Philly's a nice story. They would have got some good traction if Embiid could have stayed healthy. And the Knicks are the Knicks. But as far as star power, name recognition, top name recognition, young player, traditional, just excellence, Boston Celtics are it. If you sat NBA executives in a dark room before the year, and he said, okay, guys, who do you want to win? Not who do you want to come out of the Eastern Conference? To a man, they're telling you it's the Boston Celtics. And Boston was leaps and bounds better than everybody else this year. 14 games better is leaps and bounds. Leaps and bounds. So the Boston Celtics are exactly what a fringe fan wants. The Boston Celtics are exactly what the NBA wants. The Boston Celtics are exactly what the NBA needs. A fledgling league that is going backwards. Yeah, you need the Celtics in there. And they got it. Now, who could the Celtics have played? Your first reaction is the Lakers. Okay, granted, I give that to you. But Portland, San Antonio, Memphis, Utah, Houston, Sacramento, Pelicans, no. Minnesota, no. Denver, look, I love Denver, but wouldn't have been as juicy as this. OKC, best team, not as juicy. Clippers, I mean, they're the Clippers. Star power, sure, but they're the Clippers. The Suns would have been fun. Suns, Dallas, Lakers? Can I say that? Can I? And I would go as far as saying this. Look, the power of who Luka is, the power of who Luka has developed into, what we've watched this postseason, what Luka has become, and take form. I think it's more exciting than Phoenix. I think that NBA executives would have chosen Dallas instead of Phoenix. Take away the market size. Just from a sheer, you know, attraction standpoint. Are you guys more interested in watching Luka take on Tatum or the Suns as a team? I think it's Dallas. So outside of Lakers Celtics, which is the dream every year, and you can talk to people in the NCAA tournament, and they're going to tell you, we want UNC Duke in the finals. You know, you can talk to you know, Major League Baseball, we want Yankees Dodgers, right? I mean, you know, you have the matchups that they're not going away. And everybody wants Lakers Boston that is in that, those NBA buildings, especially LeBron James against the Celtics. Oh, my goodness. That would have been amazing. But outside of the Lakers, and I'm including Denver, and I'm including Phoenix, I'm including the Clippers, I'm including them all. Outside of the Lakers, I think this is the biggest draw power matchup that you could have. Celtics against the Lukas. And that's really what it is, right? I mean, isn't this just the Luka Doncic? Yeah, it is superstar level, fun athlete that just absolutely grabs hold of everybody against the well-oiled machine. Kyrie is a heck of a player. And Kyrie is a name that people do know. He's a good second fiddle here. But at this stage in his career, he's a clear second fiddle. I don't think if you named, you know, the top 50 NBA players, I don't think Derek Jones is making the list. PJ Washington, the same thing. Daniel Gafford, same thing. So, I mean, you know, maybe a Tim Hardaway has a little name recognition left on his ledger. And Kyrie is Kyrie. Kyrie had a good year, right? He's got them where they have to be. Kyrie is no longer a top five player in the league. And I think that there was a time where he was. But he finished top 15 in points. I mean, he could still score. He could still dish it out. 5 rebounds, 5 assists. But at 32 years old, you know, he's a secondary scorer. At 32 years old, he's the guy that you go, yeah, oh yeah, Kyrie's on that team too. It's the Luka show. That's all it is. It's Luka and more Luka, and I get it. But that is star power. That's the power that you want. That is the guy up against the team dynamic, that the script that you write. So if you are a fringe NBA fan, the series is alluring to you. If you're a somebody that's sitting on the fence and you're going, you know, I don't know, haven't watched the NBA in a couple of years, this might be that series for you. Because you get to see one of the greats in the league right now in Luka going up against one of the greats in the league right now in Tatum. Luka, his team who shouldn't be here, and we'll get to that soon, going up against the team that everybody thought would be here in the Boston Celtics, in a really fun, dynamic situation. So I think the NBA, I think for the NBA, this is a win. I think for fans, this is a win. This is an absolute win of a series. They could have asked for the Lakers. So I'm not going to say you couldn't ask for anything more. But outside of the Lakers, old washed-up LeBron pulling his carcass up and down the court, outside of that, I think that this is what you want. 25-year-old Luka, 6'7", 230-pound, dynamic. They call him a point guard, which is funny. Dynamic player entering his fifth season. And you go, yeah, in the beginning of the year, I want Luka in the championship. And just like the NHL, I'm not telling you that he's going to win, but you wanted McDavid there. Now, Luka's not McDavid, but I like the trajectory. I like the idea that maybe McDavid will be going up against the team that is the Panthers. Luka going up against the team that is the Celtics. That's good for storylines. Going to sell tickets. Going to put butts in the seats. All right, guys, let's take a quick timeout. When I get back, I'm going to break down the series, give you my predictions. I not only have a prediction, I also have a prop play that I really do like, and I think you're going to be able to make money. It's a plus money prop play. Plus, I'll give you a series prediction and break it all down right after this, right here on Heatwave Sports. All right, guys, welcome back. Heatwave Sports. I'm Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com. Let's break down the series. I told you the Boston Celtics belonged here. We thought they'd be here. Dallas, different story. I mean, this is what we're looking at. We have completely contrasting styles. The Boston Celtics before the year, they were the preseason favorites. Everybody thought that they would be here. They won the Eastern Conference by 14 games. They put up 64 wins. They're 12-2 in the playoffs after dominating the regular season. They have dominated in the playoffs. They have the league's top-ranked offense, number one overall, scoring over 123 points per game. The Boston Celtics also do it on defense, the number three overall defense, holding teams to just over 111 points per game. And they do not care where they play, ladies and gentlemen, because they have an eight-game road winning streak going on. On the other side, Dallas nearly had to play in a play-in tournament. Now, I know a lot of people in the preseason liked them, but as the season went on, they almost had to have a play-in tournament to be in this spot. The Mavericks, though, have Luka. There's not many players better than him in the league. Dallas has a season finished with the top 10 offense. Luka was number one in the league. Kyrie was number 14. They can score. But it's all about Luka. It's Luka against the team. And I mentioned Luka, so let's dive in. 34 points per game, number one in the league in the regular season. 9.2 rebounds per game, top 15 in the league. Just under 10 assists per game, number two in the league. Those are MVP-type numbers. He didn't win it, but those are MVP-type numbers. Luka's putting MVP-type numbers up. And can he get better during the playoffs? It almost seems like it. He averaged 29 points per game during the playoffs. Almost the same rebounds per game. 8.8 assists per game. Yeah, Luka is that guy. Kyrie needs to step up in this series if they have a chance. And Kyrie can score. He's going to have to distribute. And you have Luka and you have Kyrie. Where are you getting the rest of the points from? Look, let's say Luka goes crazy against a number three defense, okay? Number three defense in the league. Let's say Luka still goes crazy and gets his 30 points. Let's see Kyrie dumps in 25. You got 55 between them. You know what? I'm even going to be generous. Let's be a little bit more generous. Right? Let's be a little bit more generous and say that between them, right? Between them, what we have is 60 points. Beautiful. Where are the rest of the points coming from? And that's what they got to be thinking about. Luka leads the team in the postseason in points, rebounds, assists. Oh, by the way, he also leads in steals. But the disparity here is Luka scoring 28, almost 29. Kyrie scoring 23. PJ Washington's just over 13. Not another player in double digits in the postseason. Derek Jones with maybe 10. Gafford 10, Lively not quite 10, everybody else under 5. Where are they getting the points, guys? They're averaging 108 points per game in the postseason. Celtics are averaging 111. The Dallas Mavericks are averaging more than 50 points per game from Luka and Kyrie. I told you I'll give you 60. Even against a top-ranked defense. PJ Washington, good for 10. That's 70. Derek Jones, good for 10. That's 80. Gafford, good for 10. That's 90. Everybody else is going to have to trip in. That's best case scenario. Best case scenario. And then they got to keep Boston off off the scoring table. Right? That's what they have to do. It's not easy. It's not easy what they're up against here. Because you look at Boston in the contrasting style here. Jason Tatum, 26. Jaylen Brown, 25, right behind him. It's not just the Jason Tatum show. Derek White with 18. Holiday with 13. Porzingis with 12. Al Horford with 10. Everybody on their team. They got five guys. Well, if you glue Al Horford 9.9, I'm throwing him in there, right? You have six guys, double digits, guys. So let's do the same thing. Tatum and Brown, they're averaging 51 right now. Tatum and Brown, I'll give him 55. Derek White, 15. That's 70. Drew Holiday, 15. 85. Porzingis, 10. 95. Horford, 10. 105. They're 105. We didn't even get into Pritchard, 7.5. Howard's just throwing in 5. And everybody else. That's just averages. Now you take that Boston is the best defense that Dallas is going to play here. And Dallas's defense is not very good. You know, you look at what Tatum's done, and it's great. Tatum leads the team in points, leads the team in rebounds, leads the team in assists. Sounds very familiar, right? But you have Jaylen Brown, only a point back of him in the playoffs. Jaylen Brown has six rebounds per game, three assists per game, one steal a game. So the Tatum-Brown, Luka Irving combination. Look, Brown is better than Irving at this point in his career. Almost across the board, specifically in the playoffs, yes. And Luka and Tatum, even if you say Luka gets the edge, so we'll cross those two out. Luka and Irving are eliminated by Tatum and Brown. Fine. Boston's taking that all day. Because the next best player on the court is Derek White. Next best player after that is Drew Holiday. Then maybe you have a PJ Washington, but I think Porzingis is right there. So there, if you want to tell me that, you know, Luka and Irving are slightly better than Tatum and Brown, first of all, I'm not necessarily buying it, but if you want to, if that's your argument, if that's your where you're going down with it, and by the way, I know Porzingis only played four games, and I'm just giving you the talent level, right? You throw Horford in there for 10. If Luka's the best player on the court, we'll give you that. Tatum's 2. Brown's 3. Then Irving will give you, we'll give you Irving's 4, even though Derek White is right behind him at 5 easily. Drew Holiday's 6. Celtics have 4 of the top 6 players. Celtics are the team. They are the complete team here. And I get anything can happen and all that. Celtics are the best team in the NBA at home. Celtics are the best team in the NBA. Dead stop, period. And I don't think this Dallas run, what they've had here, that's what it is. It's a Dallas run. Gives me any reason to believe that Boston can't have their way with them. Boston lost 4 games at home, guys, during the regular season. 4. 4. You look at Dallas and you go, okay, Dallas, I know you're on a nice little run. 25-16 at home, 25-16 away. Dallas is on a nice run. Trying not to take anything away from them, but you see where I'm leaning here. You see where I'm going with my prediction. I'm not trying to hide it, guys. This isn't unveil the rabbit at the end. I like what they did against the Clippers. I get it. Okay? But are the Clippers really the team that you're going, okay. Yeah, Irving put up 40 in a game here or there, but are the Clippers really the team that's impressing you? OKC was a good team. They were a good team. But was OKC intimidating? Was Minnesota intimidating? And Boston had the better record, the tougher road to get here, the better players, more talent, home court advantage. There's nothing outside of Luka. And that is a big something, but there's nothing outside of Luka that makes me think that Dallas can win this series. Yeah, I'm going over my predictions in my head, and I'm trying to, you know, trying to sit back, and I'm trying to be, I guess, you know, non-controversial and look at things from both sides. And there's nothing that I can say to make me think that Dallas is winning this series. I'm having a hard time to find out where they're winning a game. They're not winning a game in Boston. And I know anything can happen in game one, blah, 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 blah. They're not winning a game in Boston. And I'm almost close to saying they don't win a game in the series. I'm damn close to saying the Boston Celtics sweep them out of the building. I have no problem. Listen, I know Boston could go to Dallas and win. So you want to, let's back it up. Let's go the other way. Okay, right? Let's back things up. Is there any chance, you Dallas fans out there, is there any chance Dallas is winning a game seven in Beantown? Don't have to answer that. The answer is absolutely not. Does Boston close it out in a game six in Dallas? Yeah, I could see that. You want to tell me Boston in six? Sure. Okay. Not sure it gets there. I'll give Luka one game where he goes nuts. I'll give Luka a nut game, right? A crazy, crazy game. Throws in 42 points. Goes crazy with 15 rebounds. You know, 10 assists. I'll give him one of those games. There you go, Luka. Against the number three defense in the league. I don't even know if he gets it. But I'll give you that, Luka. There you go. You got one crazy game. And that's all you're getting from me. I want to say the word sweep. I want to go down that road. But I'm giving Luka one game because I respect him. Luka gets one game because I respect him, and that's it. The Boston Celtics are winning this series. The Boston Celtics are likely winning this series going away. The Celtics are putting an end to this Dallas Cinderella story. It was a nice run, but you haven't faced a number three defense that is combined with a number one offense. You know, Dallas could beat a team that has a good defense. Dallas has the offense. Kyrie could step his game up. Luka could go crazy and just out of his mind against the defense. He could score against anyone. Dallas can beat a number three defense. But Dallas can't beat a number three defense while also keeping up with a number one offense. The Boston Celtics are a well-oiled machine, guys. They're at minus 220 in most sports books, and I don't know why they're not minus 400. Is it people just not believing in the Celtics? Is it the choking situation? Is it the Luka love and the Luka money? How about a little bit of all above? All the above. All the above. But you can't get me to bite. 180 coming back, that's not enough for me to bite on doubt. No chance. And sometimes I go into a finals and I say, okay, you know, try to go game by game. Now you try to pick out game by game. You can't do that here. Because if Boston wins game, look, if Boston wins game one, guys, there'll be no value left on Boston. I will go as far as to say this. The Boston Celtics will be favored in every single game, even in Dallas. They'll be favored in every single game this series. And rightfully so. They will be favored in every game, and they should be favored in every game this series. The Boston Celtics are a well-oiled machine. The Boston Celtics have had this in their sights. This is Jason Tatum's time. This is Jaylen Brown's time. It's time for Boston to put the emphasis on a championship, put season away. Take your 64 wins, take your 12-2 postseason record, and end this thing. And end it quickly. There's no way Luka's winning a game seven in Boston. I don't care who he is. It's not happening. Not this year. No way. And I don't even think he gets to a game six. I'll give him one, and it pains me to give him one because I want to say the word sweep. But I respect Luka. Respect him enough to say, game five, he's out of there. Gets one game, and that's that. It's my official prediction. All right, let's take a quick timeout. When I do come back, besides this prediction, I do a plus money prop play that I want to get into. And I want to tell you if it is worth putting money on game-by-game situation with a game one line being -6.5. Boston Celtics are favored over. If I like the Celtics that much, I must love the 6.5, right? As Lee Corso would say, not so fast, my friend. All that and more right after the break, right after this on Heatwave Sports.
I have your attention, please.
This is Heatwave Sports.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is...
Tom Barton.
Nah, dude. This is a real job. It's like teaching kids.
And now back to Heatwave Sports. Here's Tom Barton.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Heatwave Sports. Talking about the NBA Finals. Make sure you join us tomorrow night. We're going to go over everything in Major League Baseball. There's going to be a lot of baseball tomorrow. I want to get Tim's take on the Stanley Cup. If Stanley Cup Finals with the Panthers moving on, we will talk about the Edmonton Oilers and Dallas Stars game. Either Edmonton's moving on, and we could have a nice conversation about previewing the Stanley Cup Finals, or we will be really digging in to a Game 7 as well as Major League Baseball. I know Tim's not going to talk about the NBA. That's why I am absolutely hammering it down today. I know a lot of people are doubting the Boston Celtics. There are premier radio guys out there that are saying they don't think that the Larry O'Brien trophy is going to be lifted up because there's no superstar, because they were 41-11 against the East. I get it. Don't care. I don't care. Boston minus 220. All day, every day. I love it. I'm all over that. You know, I won't be taking the MVP, though, where I know that Jason Tatum should probably be their best player, right? I know Tatum is the guy. I won't pay that price because I think Brown could be the guy. Maybe White could be the guy. I mean, that's the beauty of who they are. That's the beauty of who the Celtics, you know, are, is that it can go to a number of guys. If you like Dallas, you should be all over Luka. I don't like Dallas, okay? I don't think that they're going to win. But if you like Dallas, whew, jump all over Luka. Jump all over Luka. I don't like Tatum at minus 135 because of Brown. Luka at plus 190, right? So, there's no world that exists that the Dallas Mavericks win the championship and Luka doesn't go off. Luka has a mediocre, you know, finals, and Dallas wins. No. So he's their guy at 190. Does Jaylen Brown tempt me at plus 550? Yeah. I mean, he's the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. He already has that in his bag. That tempts me a little. But there is a play, a prop play, that I will be jumping on. The prop play that I like Luka to have the most three-pointers in the series. The number's set at plus 120. And I think we could jump on that. The Luka going crazy aspect I've mentioned a few times. He's averaging more than 3.5 three-pointers per game this postseason. In order for them to stay in this thing against the number three ranked defense in the league, he's got to absolutely sit back and he's got to go into a position where he's going to have to take those outside shots. 3.5 is not, it's not too much to ask. And I think that gets him there. But he doesn't need necessarily 3.5 every game. I'm on the bandwagon where Luka is a guy that could sit back, turn around, and he could hit 5 or 6 in one game. I think he does have that splash game. I think Luka has that offensive splash game where Boston says, yeah, okay, do whatever you want. We're going to shut down the rest of your team. So, Luka, you go crazy. You score 40. The rest of your team, you know, only scores 50, and we keep you to 90. I've seen it happen with Boston before. So you do have that aspect to this. At plus 120 odds, and you're getting plus money back, I'll take the chance. Now, you're going up against the field. And in the finals, we have a history of watching, you know, underrated guys kind of go crazy. But in a losing effort, Luka will be launching threes. If Dallas is playing into a game 6 or a game 7 or winning the series, Luka most certainly is going to have three-pointers. So I think it's a spot here where I'm finding a prop play that is a plus value prop play that I'm finding a hard time that we're not going to at least be in this thing very, very late, probably with a chance to seal it. I don't think we're going to see somebody on the Celtics, you know, shoot 6, 7, 8 three-pointers in game one or game two and just sort of end the bet that week. That doesn't seem plausible. And you're not going to get it from the Dallas side. Dallas is going to run through Luka. You might have somebody step up for one game, but Dallas is going to run through Luka. And if Dallas is running through Luka, you give me 3.5. That's what he's averaging. You give me 3.5 per game for the series, I think that's enough to cash it. And at a plus 120, I'll be on that. But my official prediction is the Boston Celtics in 5. I think that the East being weak was overblown. I think that what we watched the Celtics do was just as impressive as what Dallas has done in the West. The Celtics are the better team. The Celtics have maybe not the best player, but they certainly have the second and third best players, and they probably have the fourth and the fifth best, or the sixth and the seventh best players. And to me, it's a two-man team. Luka can go crazy. Kyrie is a player, of course. After that, it's a drop-off. Tatum could have a bad game, and White and Brown pick him up. Brown could have a bad game. Tatum could go crazy, just like Luka could go crazy. There's many avenues for the Boston Celtics to win. There's one avenue for Dallas to win. I'll take the many avenues. I'll lay the 220. Give me the Boston Celtics for the series. All right, guys, that's going to do it for me. Make sure you listen in tomorrow night. Tim Unglesby will be back joining me. I am Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com. Go check me out. I already got plays up for tomorrow morning. It is at TomBartonSports.com. Go check it out, guys. TomBartonSports.com. Talk to you tomorrow night. Have a very good night, Las Vegas.